This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest this time is Brian Riedel, the Grover Herman Fellow in Economic Policy at the Heritage Foundation here in Washington. We want to get his analysis on the latest staggering deficit numbers released earlier in the week, showing that July was a month in which the government lost $180.7 billion on the balance sheet, and for the fiscal year to date, $1.27 trillion with 2 months to go. And Brian, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, glad to be here.
We knew that these estimates for this fiscal year were going to be off the charts at four times the previous record, which was last year, so it doesn't come as a huge surprise, but how do you read this? What's triggering this more than anything else?
The recession is obviously triggering these numbers, although enacting a $787 billion stimulus bill and a $700 billion bailout of Wall Street haven't helped either. President Bush was torn apart for running deficits of $300 billion a year, and that was while fighting a war. This year, the budget deficit will be nearly $2 trillion. The economy could survive that as long as it was a short-term blip. Unfortunately, even after the recession, President Obama's budget would keep trillion-dollar deficits as far as the eye can see, and in fact would double the national debt over the next decade. Clearly, if you double the national debt, you're going to raise taxes for people, you're going to raise interest rates, and you're going to dump a lot of costs into our children's laps.
We hear from the Fed, Brian, we hear from the administration, at least they hope so, that the recession is bottoming out and turning the corner. So if we get some modest economic growth, is that going to make much of a dent?
Modest economic growth can reduce the budget deficit because more people would be working and paying taxes and fewer people would be collecting unemployment benefits. That could reduce the deficit. And it should. If we come back into a normal economy that we had before the recession, you'd think the budget deficit would then go right back down to the deficit we had before the recession, about $300 or $400 billion. But President Obama's budget is growing the budget deficit so big that what's going to happen is it's going to raise interest rates, because large budget deficits generally raise interest rates, and that's going to make the economy stagnate even longer. It means we may have a more fragile economic recovery because of those high interest rates resulting from all this borrowing.
What would be the impact, Brian, if one or both of his major legislative initiatives don't end up happening this year, either health care, cap and trade, or both?
The impact on the short-term economy would not really exist because neither of these policies actually would go into effect until 2013 anyway. And so the fights in health care and cap and trade are long-term fights. Beginning in 2013, we would see massive new government spending funded by historic tax increases on top of the ones the president had already proposed in his budget. But in the short term, there isn't going to be much of an effect because those policies won't be implemented for a couple of years, even if they are passed.
And Brian, in terms of adding taxes, as you mentioned, to pay for the cap and trade system, to pay for the health care reform, if in fact it happens, how much revenue would that generate, and would it offset what many people believe to be the lost productivity as a result of the tax burden that they would be taking on?
Well, keep in mind, President Obama didn't just promise deficit neutrality on health care. He said that we would actually reduce health care spending. Well, if you're reducing health care spending, then you shouldn't need to raise taxes to pay it off. So even if it's deficit neutral, it's deficit neutral only because you're raising taxes to offset even more expensive health care costs. That said, the president's health care plan is going to cause trillions of dollars in new deficits over the next few decades. The Congressional Budget Office has verified this. It is not deficit neutral. So what we'd see is an income surtax on upper-income individuals and small businesses of up to 5 percentage points, which could be extended even lower down the income chain because there still would be budget deficits. And then on cap and trade, you're looking at annual costs of as high as $3,000 per household and higher energy costs in order to pay for this. And that's not just for the rich. That's going to hit everybody.
Brian, what will be the impact of that on the typical family? You mentioned $3,000 mm-hmm. just to pay for cap and trade. And then if you add on these other taxes to help finance a new healthcare system, if in fact it passes, what's that going to do for the typical family?
Look at it this way. The federal government before the recession spent $25,000 per household. President Obama's budget would eventually raise spending over the next 10 years to about $38,000 per household. Now, if the cost of the government increases by $13,000 per household, at some point your taxes are going to rise by $13,000 per household. That's what we're facing, is by 2019 you may see your tax burden increase by $13,000 per household. That's going to hit everybody very hard. It's going to have a devastating effect on families, businesses, the economy as a whole.
Plenty to keep track of. Brian, very sobering preview of what could be coming down the pike in just a few years. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Brian Riedel is the Grover Herman Fellow in Economic Policy at the Heritage Foundation in Washington. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.